From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
There aren't many scallop fisheries in Alaska. And while the mollusks are plentiful in southeast waters, harvesting them there is resource and time intensive. KCAW's Ezra Dan spoke with a local scallop fisherman who is bringing the delicacy to dinner tables in Sitka and Southeast with sustainability in mind.
On days when diver Evan O'Brien isn't diving for pink swimming scallops or harvesting gooseneck barnacles off steep rock faces at low tide, you can find him in a slip at Thompson Harbor, working on the new diving boat he purchased from Oxnard, California earlier this year. The FV Sinbad was purchased by O'Brien for his company, Merrick Shellfish, from a sea urchin diver, so the boat is equipped with everything he needs for a dive.
These are swimming scallops, so you'll swim up to a boulder or something that's covered with them, and in the winter like this, maybe, I don't know, 10 to 20% of them will take off, start swimming, and I just leave those and I harvest the ones that stay because they're kind of dormant and they're sort of hibernating, so they're easier to harvest.
But they aren't so sleepy in the summertime.
As there's more light and the water's starting to warm up a little bit, you'll swim up to that same boulder that's covered and maybe 80% of them will take off. And then you're just, you know, trying to pick them out of the air. It's like you're trying to catch butterflies or something with a net. And that gets much harder.
O'Brien isn't new to this type of work. Before diving for scallops, he spent a few seasons diving for sea cucumbers and gooey ducks, another bivalve shellfish industry that thrives in southeast Alaska. Choosing to switch to Pacific swimming scallops wasn't easy for O'Brien and his company. That's because gathering the data necessary to open the fishery is a heavy load. The long-established gooey duck fishery has an inexpensive method of collecting water samples to test biotoxin levels. The Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association buys one boat to collect all biotoxin water samples for gooey duck harvesting. Merrick Shellfish doesn't have the same luxury. As a pilot fishery for the scallops and gooseneck barnacles he harvests, O'Brien has to ensure sustainability by collecting a year's worth of data and sending harvest quota amounts to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation when he finds a new harvest area.
The way it works is I get these different areas open with the DEC, which, like I said, is a slow process. It takes at least a year to get a new area open, and they're relatively small areas. I mean, we're talking about like a single inlet kind of thing. Then I request a specific amount of quota from, so say 1,000 pounds from this particular inlet, and Fish and Game will look at that request, and if they think it's reasonable, they'll approve that amount of quota.
Once he harvests the 1,000 pounds, he's done for that area.
My goal is to keep expanding, getting new areas open with the DEC, and I'm looking at areas that aren't even open for harvest right now to get a sense of the abundance. And then I have to send in a year's worth of water samples and then a bunch of biotoxin samples, and then that area will open.
O'Brien's plan is to get enough of these areas open for harvest so he can manage the fishery like gooey duck and sea cucumber dive operations, where each area is rotated on a 3-year break between harvests. However, government fishery regulations haven't been the only obstacle O'Brien has faced. When selling to local grocery stores and restaurants during his first year of operation, O'Brien got complaints about how dirty the shellfish were. So O'Brien built his own special washer. It's basically a garbage can full of brushes aided by a flowing water hose, and after the scallops tumble through as he rotates it, they're clean. The washer is also equipped with 2-inch holes so scallops smaller than regulation size can escape. And it works. He's able to deliver his product to local businesses with less grit and grime, though the extra step also means extra time.
And it's another barrier to, you know, the real kind of high volume fishery where you would just harvest thousands of pounds, deliver them to a tender. That's not what this product is.
O'Brien's season starts with scallop diving in the midwinter months and is now harvesting gooseneck barnacles to sell. Although O'Brien sometimes has his younger brother assist as a deckhand, Merrick Shellfish is largely a one-man business. But that's okay with him. He says his goal for the fisheries has always been high value, low volume, to have a lower impact on the environment and stocks, while also introducing people to new and unusual seafoods.
It's great to just see, even in, you know, relatively small quantities, see those products in the community and people in town enjoying them. Because it's something that probably a lot of people have seen if they get the chance to be out on the water and have seen it and maybe noticed it but never considered eating it, particularly the gooseneck barnacles because they're so weird looking.
Gooseneck barnacles are a delicacy in Spain and Portugal, and many compare the taste to crab or shrimp. If you can get past the scaly appearance similar to a dragon's toenails, they're a real treat for seafood lovers. To eat them, diners must pinch the foot between thumb and forefinger, pull the meat out of its case, remove their claw, and enjoy. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ezra Dan.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
And now here's a story from the Northern Journal's Nat Hirst. A federal judge has rejected a request to allow a staple Southeast Alaska king salmon fishery to proceed this summer while an appeal challenging its court-imposed closure plays out. Richard Jones, a U.S. District Court judge in Washington State, denied the request by Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to set aside his own ruling from earlier this month. The ruling, aimed at protecting endangered orca whales, has the effect of closing this summer's troll season for Chinook salmon in Southeast Alaska, a hook-and-line fishery that employs some 1,500 skippers and crew. Jones, in a five-page order, said he would not stay or set aside his earlier decision while the state's underlying appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals plays out. Jones said the state's arguments against his earlier ruling, arguments that stressed the financial impacts of a closure on fishermen and the region's economy, are unlikely to result in a win on appeal, which is a necessary finding for Jones to put the closure on hold. The news comes just over a month before the July 1st scheduled start to the summer troll fishery. Advocates for the trollers say Jones's ruling was expected and a necessary step before the stay request could also be brought to the Ninth Circuit. Matt Donahoe, board president of the Alaska Trollers Association, said the situation looks increasingly grim as fishermen sink money into their preparations for the summer without knowing what the payoff will be. King salmon typically make up between 40 and 50% of the fleet's yearly harvest value, according to a 2019 study. Trollers are also unsure about whether the previous ruling from Jones will even allow them to catch silver salmon, which make up most of the rest of their harvest, because there's no way to ensure that kings aren't accidentally hooked and harmed.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
In mid-May, the small island community of Petersburg celebrated its ties to Norwegian culture as well as the start to the fishing season. Visiting musicians flew in for the town's Little Norway Festival, but they also shared the stage with some homegrown talent, Ashon McKay, who performs under the name Lil Realist X. He is a Petersburg-based fisherman and rap musician, and sometimes he even raps about fishing.
It's the night of Lil Realist X's first show of the year, and local watering hole Keto's Cave is packed, from the stage to the very back of the bar. Lil Realist superfans are all sitting up front. Shirley Yip is one of them, and she's decked out in his merch. She, along with many others at her front stage table, knew Ashon from childhood. Yip says she got an iTunes gift card as a high school graduation present, and she remembers using it to buy his very first album.
I remember he would do some of his recordings in his GarageBand on his, like, MacBook Pro, and we got to hear the GarageBand versions of his music.
Dalton Small is another Realist fan. He remembers when Ashon started rapping in middle school.
From what I hear, it's done nothing but go up, so that's really cool to see. And you hear some of his old stuff compared to his stuff now, and it's just like, wow, it's gotten great. It's done good. He's nothing but the chillest guy you'll ever meet, and down to earth, and always down to have a good time, hang out with your friends kind of guy. Yeah, so.
After his set, Realist hops off the stage sweaty and energized.
Feel good. It's a good show. Sweaty, so worked hard.
But this isn't his first rodeo. When he's not fishing himself, Realist is producing his music across the U.S., from Atlanta to Hollywood. Realist started rapping when he was about 12 years old. He says the rap icons of the early 2000s helped shape his sound.
Eminem, 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Lil Realist X, that's my stage name. And I got that from one of 50 Cent's songs. He said in a lyric, "Remind me that you're rocking with the Realist." And he was like such a big influence on my life. So I was like, oh, I'm going to use that. So Lil Realist and then X is just me finding myself.
Realist says growing up in Alaska also had a major impact on his art. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and adopted by a family in Petersburg when he was 6 months old.
I mean, you don't really know any different until you, like, go down south. But, I mean, we were driving four-wheelers on the roads, snowmobiles, a bunch of crazy stuff. A lot of snow, you know, not the big city stuff you normally do.
His parents started taking him out fishing when he was 8 years old, and he got his first full-time gig when he was 15. He lists the fishing industry as another major artistic influence.
Fishing every day, you know, we're spending the time. It's not really working unless you want the grind. I got the net coming in and it's full of fish. Big money, yo, it's all we wish. We don't want big waves because it sinks the boat. Wait.
But Realist is stepping out of the grind and setting aside his nets for now. He got hurt in a fishing accident earlier this year. He was working with herring pounds, huge pens for holding the fish when they spawn.
We are herring pounding in Craig, Alaska, and we were setting the pounds on the beach. And I went up and jumped in the air and tried to twist one, but my spine twisted too far forward, and I crushed two discs.
For now, he's taking a break from fishing. But, Realist says, he's come to understand that the lifestyle is a critical part of his artistic persona. He says rapping about his roots sets him apart from other artists. And it keeps him grounded in reality.
Growing up, and, you know, the older I get, the more I'm actually, like, feeling comfortable on presenting about life instead of just, you know, because you see everybody in the mainstream, it's like parties, big houses, and I don't got that. So it's more just, like, being real.
Realist says the recovery period is giving him more time to focus on his music. He's trying to set up tours in Washington and Montana and looks forward to producing his next album in Detroit. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
Big money, yo, it's all we wish. We don't want big waves because it sinks the boat. Wait, we got to fill up another tote. Halibut prices might go down, but I'm still going to fish at a P-town.
The latest album by Lil Realist X, Diamond, is available on Spotify, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.